This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're finally here out at JP Roofing and Siding, Route 30 in North Versailles. You should stop in. It's kicking off the WIN campaign for women and children in need. You can donate here, make a donation, get a couple pieces of pizza from Bishop's Pizza. I just had a couple of those myself, and they were absolutely delicious. And here's the man himself and his mustache. You hear me make these reads every single day. Talking about my friend Joe Potocnik, and he's sitting right next to me. JP, how are you?
Good, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing well. Honored to be here today. Honored to be part of this campaign that we have running at the fan. We really appreciate you having us out here.
Joe, it's an honor to kick this program off with women and children in domestic violence. Like you said, we have food here. We have drinks here. If anybody wants to stop by and see us here and donate to their cause, it'll be well appreciated.
Can also do that at wcspittsburgh.org. So let's get to it, Joe. I talk about your mustache every day. I've seen it on the golf course. People, they as soon as they see you, and I know you're on TV as well, and you're on at least one billboard, right?
Correct.
When they see you, they immediately are just drawn to the mustache, aren't they?
Yes, first thing that they say is, the mustache, there he is.
And does the mustache greet them?
Oh, yeah. It gives them a wiggle.
Like something out of Toy Story? It just comes to life all of a sudden?
Starts talking.
How about the billboard? Do people around town talk about that?
I hear it all the time, Joe.
What do they say?
It's flattering to hear that from people that they saw me on a billboard or they hear you talking about my mustache. And if I did have my mustache, I wouldn't be in business.
I often say, during some of those reads that it was 43 years ago that a man and a mustache sat down to build a business together. In all honesty, that takes guts. Why roofing and siding? Why did you do that? Did you have a history, your family in this, or what?
Never, Joe, never. I never worked for a roofing company. I never worked for a siding company. I started the business myself. I got my feet wet. And, you know, I had a passion. I still have a passion for this business. And the customer service is huge in this business. And the customer, when you leave the job, or my men would leave, and the good practice that they're in, a happy customer makes me happy. And that is very important in customer service. Today, customer service is hard to come by. We work very hard at that to do the job, to do all the work necessary to complete the job, to get the proper warranty. We register every warranty with every job. And that's very big in our, you know, in our company with our a good culture we have here.
Yeah.
The family we have working here.
A team culture.
It's a team effort. It's like one big family. And everybody, the culture, you have to have good culture in a business and good core values to succeed. And marketing leadership and customer service plays a key role of building a business, not just the sales. It's customer service is the main thing.
You're also a giant Pittsburgh sports fan. Every once in a while, I'll check my phone, and there you are, like Waldo, popping up at a Penguin game right behind Mike Sullivan at a Steeler game from the sidelines. You are a giant Pittsburgh sports fan, yes?
Yes, I am, Joe. I am dedicated, win or lose. I stick with my Steelers. I stick with my Pens. And I'll stick with the Pirates also. I'm a huge sports fan in this city. My dad played for the Phillies years back. He was the
you told me that,
yeah. Scott High School. Johnny Reed was his scout and coach back then in the 40s. He played with Greg Rogel. I diddle Rogel up the middle. And I end up playing with his son in Little League and Pony League and Colt League. And I have a passion for baseball, football, and hockey. And, you know, when you see some of these players out there that are Pittsburgh built, you know, they're good ball players. A lot of good ball players come from the city of Pittsburgh in the surrounding area.
If you could pick one team around here, college, pro, anywhere, to win the next championship, who would you want that to be?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And it could happen this year.
It could happen this year. And Watt winning the Defensive Player of the Year.
Yes.
Yeah. He got robbed last year.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. In fact, we're going to get into that in about 2 minutes here. Joe, this is unbelievable. We have Kane's Chicken. We have Bishop's Pizza, the guy across the street. He's a legend, huh?
Yeah, he is. Gary's been around a long time. He has two pizza parlors. And the one here in North Versailles, he's been here since 1995. He's up there early every morning making the dough, the fresh pizza, fresh sauce. You can't get enough of it. It's always good. Never get tired of it, Joe.
Oh, man, was it good. Plus, are you buddies with Billy Knight or an acquaintance with Billy Knight, the former great pitch great? Yeah. You got him on the line with us last year.
Yes, I did, yes.
I told him about when he came to the YMCA in Buffalo, right across the street from my house when he played for the Buffalo Braves. I remembered it. Surprisingly, he didn't remember it. Of course he didn't. It was just one little stop at a YMCA, but it was huge to me. He was a great player.
I think you were the little Joe Starkey back then.
I was, the savvy young news hound back then. So thank you for making that acquaintance, and thank you, Joe, for having us out here. T-Bird, so far, has had 3 pieces of pizza, 2 donuts, and a cane sandwich.
And he's not done yet.
This guy's in fuego. T-Bird, you're having the time of your life, aren't you?
Warming up for next year's competition, you know me.
He's the hot dog eating champion.
Oh, nice.
T-Bird, did you know that?
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Has that led to a lot of fame around the station, T-Bird?
No.
No?
No.
How about in the community? Neither?
No, no fame. I'm a behind-the-scenes type of guy.
Grow a mustache, Joe.
Maybe. It keeps it pretty quiet.
Thank you, buddy, for
Thank
having
you.
Us out here.
Appreciate it, Joe.
It's
been
I
an
see
honor.
That your lovely family, your wife Kim, is here. I can't wait to meet
there
your grandkids
are. My
over
grandkids
here.
Are here.
Here comes a very menacing man in a Penguin sweatshirt. Who's
yeah,
he?
Yeah, it's Sean Shires.
I'm already afraid of him. I haven't even met him. What's happening with him?
He seems
angry.
Shires Auto Body.
Okay.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Sean, how are you, my friend? He has a very hard two-handed handshake. Ow! This guy's unbelievable. All right, Joe. Thank you,
All
sir.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate
I'll
it.
Say hello to the family
Thanks
in
for
a
everything.
Moment. Thank you. This is great. All right, Limits. How about that, the story of the mustache and the fact that T-Bird hasn't grown one? You don't get that every day, do you?
Oh, the original origin story. You love it.
Let's hear from TJ and Myles Garrett, however you want to set this up from yesterday. I don't know, man. Myles Garrett bugs me. I don't like how that whole thing went down, of course, with Rudolph with the helmet swinging, but the accusation afterward, after Myles Garrett had apologized already to Rudolph, suddenly he had a story about how he had called him a racial slur. Now, the side I came down on there was Mike Tomlin, because I don't think that Mike Tomlin would have put team and player ahead of something like that, and he vehemently denied that anything like that had taken place. He basically said Myles Garrett lied, is what Tomlin did. And I'm on Tomlin's side 1,000% there because of the circumstances. Because of the circumstances. Why would you apologize to somebody publicly in a statement if that had occurred? I just didn't like how that went down. And now with this stuff, it's just, you know, let it go. Let it go. I'd feel lucky if I won Defensive Player of the Year if I was Myles Garrett, because TJ, frankly, by every conventional measure, deserved it last year. Having said that, this is pretty good stuff leading into the game, I think. And it might, I don't know that TJ needs extra motivation, but I think there's a reason people like Michael Jordan were always looking for it. Who doesn't need a little extra motivation, right?
Yeah, I mean, it seems just so petty, Joe, from Myles Garrett. Like, just move on. Just get over it. Like, is he just tone deaf to know that so much of the PFF numbers and the lack of sacks that he had, especially, what did he have, like, one in the final seven games of the year? Like, can he just not see that? Like, or did no one explain that to him? Is it different in Cleveland where, I mean, he was praised, oh, Myles, fantastic job, even though that guy's stats were better. Your pass rush win rate was so good, we had to give it to you. Here is what Garrett had to say, not really liking T.J. Watt.
I've never complained about the trophy not being in my house and vice versa. You know, you shouldn't be feeling two ways about, you know, it going to me. So Joker's going to play the game. I don't play against T.J. He doesn't play against me. But we're planning to, you know, go out and do what we're supposed to, win the game, and dominate on defense. But it's up for grabs this year, and we'll see the best man win.
What do you make of that?
Well, it's up for grabs this year. We'll see if the best man wins. Well, Myles Garrett should maybe think about winning a couple football games for his own team before thinking about who's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, because he's not going to win it on a four-win team in Cleveland, which is what they're destined to be at this point. And his numbers have been so pedestrian compared to Watt, pedestrian compared to the rest of the league. He's not in the conversation right now for me to win Defensive Player of the Year.
And then TJ's response.
Here it is.
For everybody in the league, obviously a guy who's been a top pass rusher in the league for a long time, but I don't compete directly against him. It's our team versus their team, and at the end of the day, I just want the Pittsburgh Steelers to come out with a win.
Yeah, I think that T.J. Watt should be still ticked off that he didn't win last year. You only get so many chances to do this, and it felt like a career achievement award for Myles, that it was just like, all right, it's his turn to win the award. Let's just give it to him, even though the other guy has better numbers across the board. Across the board. And suddenly you had, like, old-time sports writers who had never paid attention to analytics, using analytics as rationale for voting for Myles Garrett. The whole thing bothered me and bothers me. Still, there have only been a couple, you know, three or four, maybe multiple winners of Defensive Player of the Year. And this guy should have been one. Maybe there's been a few more than that, but he should be looking at his third. And if I'm not mistaken, that's really rarefied territory occupied, I think, by J.J. Watt, Lawrence Taylor, people like that. So it's a shame, because I think he has a really great case to have won three of these, and he absolutely should have won two of them.
By far. I mean, he once led the league in sacks with tying Strahan's all-time record, and he missed a game, so you can't give him the qualifier that he had the extra game to do it. And this year, I know that the sack numbers aren't entirely there because he's chipped and double-teamed on just about every single play, but he's still been a dominant force in almost every respect. Trey Hendrickson might lead the NFL in sacks, but I mean, I don't think it's the same conversation of Garrett over Watt right now that it would be Hendrickson over Watt, right? I mean, does that make any sense?
Hendrickson over Watt at this point?
Well, in terms of leads the league in sacks.
Yeah.
Nobody's pounding the table for him to win it.
Well, I'm not saying that TJ should be a runaway winner this year, but I am saying there's a lot of games out here to prove himself, right? I mean, in that sense, Garrett was right that, you know, it's pretty wide open, I think. Do you?
Yeah, I think it is, because Dexter Lawrence, if the Giants were any good, I think would be getting a lot of recognition for 8 tackles for loss, 9 sacks.
Wouldn't it be ironic if TJ won this year because of analytics? Because his conventional number, like the sacks right now, are down. However, he's going up against a Well, I think actually their right tackle's healthy, but it's generally a banged up line and a bad offense at this point. And I think he has a chance to. It's going to take, all it'll take, by the way, is one huge game to put himself back in contention anyway for the sack title. You know, he's four behind Trey Hendrickson right now. He's got 12 tackles for loss, which is among the tops in the league.
Yeah, it's second.
Second there. He has his usual passes defensed. A nice little interception would help his cause. Does he lead the league in forced fumbles at four?
Yes.
I believe he does. All right, so actually, other than what I always thought until last year was the most important stat, which is good old-fashioned sacks of the quarterback, other than that, he's got some nice stats working for him. Vegas has him as a favorite right now. Is that a heavy favorite?
Not too heavy. I'm going to pull up the odds, but he's pretty much the guy right now with Aiden Hutchinson hurt for the rest of the year, who is going to be the leader in the clubhouse and golden opportunities on big stages to continue to prove it.
According to Sportscasting, TJ Watt heavily favored to win the award, and this is dated 2 hours ago right now. It's TJ Watt at minus 200, and the next one is Dexter Lawrence at plus 1,000. That's a big difference, oh, limitless wonder. Did you know that?
No, FanDuel has him at minus 160, and Chris Jones is plus 111. So, yeah, that is a significant difference.
I didn't realize he was that heavily favored in a year where the sacks are down a little bit. That's interesting. Good. Well, maybe that is the grand irony here, is that when you look, and he does have some conventional stats, but when you look deeper into it, you realize he is the best player. Now, the MVP odds from just 5 hours ago. Josh Allen, a slight favorite over Lamar Jackson. Is that a two-horse race right now? Horse?
And Myles Garrett's 13th on Defensive Player of the Year rankings for anybody that might want to know. It definitely is. I think Josh Allen right now is the MVP of the league. It was good to see him take over in the odds. Because, you know, I also think that there might be voter fatigue, Joe, with Lamar Jackson. Do we want to give this guy another MVP award when Josh Allen has not won that before? You see that in the NBA all the time
when
LeBron
dominates.
That's
why they gave it to Garrett, though. That's what we're railing against. Yeah, you're saying that might happen, but I don't think it should happen.
No, I think Allen has deserved it and earned it to this point.
To this point, it's very close. There's a lot of football to be played. Lamar had a bad game. Lamar still has 25 touchdowns and 3 picks. He has 584 rushing yards and 2 TDs. Does he still lead the league in passer rating? I believe he does. He has a great case. He is one of the all-time, right now, still, Lamar has one of the all-time great cases for MVP based on how these numbers are going to pan out over the course of the year. But the guy in Buffalo is great, and he's working with less. Right?
Yeah, he's first in quarterback rating. He's second in QBR behind Joe Burrow. I'm talking about Lamar.
Yeah.
Lamar is second in QBR. His rating's still the highest. Jared Goff is actually second.
He's third in MVP odds, by the way.
And when you look at Josh Allen for quarterback rating, don't know how much you look into that, Joe. He's 12th. 98.
I don't look into that too much.
I don't either. I mean,
when I mentioned Lamar's, people do look into it. I don't know. When I look at the all-time leaders in passer rating, I think it's a stat that's largely based on completion percentage, on the dink and dunk game, on the modern game. You know what I mean? And I just don't feel like that should be number one on my list. I look a lot at touchdowns compared to interceptions is a huge one for me. But all I need to know about passer rating limits, when I look all time, is that Kirk Cousins is ahead of Tom Brady. I think that kind of tells me all I need to know about that stat. That Jimmy Garoppolo is ahead of Steve Young and Peyton Manning. It's a modern day type of stat that's based, I think, on cumulative numbers and the dink and dunk game. I mean, right? All you need to know is that Tua is ahead of Tom Brady all time. That's pretty much. Deshaun Watson is ahead of Tom Brady. Whew. That's kind of all you need to know. Correct?
Well, Jared Goff has had multiple passing performances where he's had a perfect rating this year.
Yeah.
But they're also posting 50 points a game. against teams. So that might be the one outlier, but I agree with your entire point that, I mean, it's not, there are some stats that you don't have to look at and fully analyze as the end-all, be-all, and that's
one of them. Here you go. And I want this heard loud and clear. And believe me, I'm guilty of using it from time to time. I am. It does reflect some things. But, you know, when somebody has an all-time great game, I'm not sure the passer rating is what I need to confirm that. Like, I just saw it with my eyes. Again, I think touchdowns compared to picks is a big one. But all you need to know out there, the next time somebody says passer rating is the be-all, end-all, is that Derek Carr is ahead of Joe Montana in career passer rating. End of story, end of segment. You're a very nice man, Limits.
You're even nicer.
I know. Mark Cabali coming up next. I've lost my reads, which I apologize for. I have no idea where they went. And we're going to talk to Cabali about all things. Let's play him the pony take, shall we? Can we do that? Would that be exciting for everyone? Not that take. Not that take. The other take. The take on how the Steelers get a pass if they lose to the Browns. A pony pass. Which was just incredible.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show, minus Pomp today. He'll be with me tomorrow to get you ready for Steelers-Browns. It's time for Mark Cabali, the big boy. He's on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. And I would also like to tell you to join audio radio stations Pitt Athletics and Saloni's Italian Bakery at the Market District at Settlers Ridge today, 2 to 7 o'clock. While you're out buying supplies for your tailgates, Turkey Day, help us fill up the truck to benefit Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and support your local community members. Help us bring home the biggest haul to Pitt. Learn more at 937thefan.com. All right, big boy, without further ado, we have one of the most incredible takes in fan history happen here yesterday. It was Andrew Filippone during the afternoon show. I'm going to play it for you. And then you're going to say you're either with it or against it. Here it is.
Controversially, I'm saying if the Steelers lose to the Browns, I would give them a free pass for this loss based on how they've done lately. The difficulty, the strenuous nature of having to play a road Thursday night game after playing the Ravens.
They lose tonight. You giving them a pass, Cabali?
Oh, I can't give them a pass. I would understand it, but I'm not giving them a pass. So I think Pony's doing one of those Mike Tomlin opposite things too. He's just saying the opposite things because his every inkling of common sense in his mind tells him he's wrong. So he's going the opposite. So can't give him a pass. I understand it, but a pass? He is getting a little soft.
What is happening here? Yes, it's the Browns, and then once you start handing out passes. For things being too strenuous, Dr. Cabali, where does it stop? They've got games against the Eagles. I forget who else. The Eagles, Ravens, and Chiefs or something in 10 days. Do you give them a Christmas Day pass against Kansas City because it was too strenuous?
10 days, only 10 days, three different days, Saturday, Sunday, and a Wednesday. So just hand them passes out left and right, right?
I think when they go into the locker room on Christmas morning, they're each going to have a little gift-wrapped pony pass for that day.
Maybe Pony showed up in the locker room on this past weekend and got some evil looks his way and, you know, trying to mend some fences or something. Maybe.
Oh, boy. All right, well, let's get to the game. We're going to test Donnie football on that later at 1 o'clock. Apparently, Donnie co-signed that take that they get a pass if they lose to the 2-8 hated Cleveland Browns on a Thursday night. Mark, what about the top seed? Shouldn't they have their eyes on the top seed right now?
He's a millennial. Those millennials tend to go down that path, Joe. You know, we're like Gen X guys, right?
Participation trophies. Is Mike Tomlin on the way off the team bus going to give everybody a little ribbon because they finished in second place and pet them on the head going into the game? Are they going to Dairy Queen after the game, win or lose? They're all going to order a Mr. Misty and a little dilly bar for Minka. What are we doing here? You're here to beat the Browns, and if you don't, your season takes a major shot. You're in control of the AFC North right now, and you have your eyes on the one seed. You lose this game, it's a major jolt. What are we doing?
You've been waiting a while to pull out the old Mr. Misty, haven't you?
Did you like those?
Yeah, I like the Mr. Misty float.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Limits, what's your favorite?
Cream in there.
Yeah,
ice cream.
The little soft ice cream. Limits, what's your favorite Dairy Queen treat?
Oh, I like the Blizzard, the Oreo Blizzard.
I like that too, except I like Butterfinger. All right, Mark. So the game tomorrow night. Are you at all? We got feedback this week that some people are concerned about Russell, that they think still that Justin Fields, not just in the red zone, but that he'll still prove to be the better option. Do you agree with those people, or do you have any concern at all about Russ moving forward?
No, I mean, I don't have any, maybe a little bit of concern. Concern is, continuously putting up the numbers he did the 3 weeks he was in there. But he makes up for it in other ways. I think that you can maybe not have those stellar numbers. I think we've seen what he's meant to the organization, the team, the offense, with him just being in there. If you go strictly numbers, I mean, it might be a little bit closer than that. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy that's come in and performed extremely well as he blew the windows out here the last couple of weeks. No, but he's doing enough to win. I don't think there's anything wrong with him whatsoever. It doesn't even really matter because there's no way that they would switch to him at this point. I mean, Justin Fields has a role, and if they can somehow continue to expand this role to what it was last week into something maybe a little bit more, I don't know why you'd want anything else. So, no, I'm not concerned with him whatsoever.
We had a weird topic yesterday based on Adam Bittner, no relation to former Chicago Cubs first baseman Larry Bittner. He had a good piece.
Or Adam Crowley, either.
Or him, yeah. He had a good piece at postgazette.com on numbers, analytics, which I know you hate. But also there's the eye test. And he wondered, is Mount Washington turning into not just an alternative, but a better tight end than Freiermuth? Is that a ridiculous question or a valid question?
No, I think he's put it this way. Last year at this time, I looked at Darnell Washington, which said he's going to be nothing more than a blocker, right? And the dominant one at that. I mean, he can just move people at will. He's a people mover, so to speak. This year, he has stepped up that game to show that he can be somewhat of a force in the passing game as well. So that's where I think the surprising part comes in. If you put them all together, of course, Washington's blocking ability supersedes Freiermuth's. But no, I don't think he's a better option or will be a better player in the long run at all. It's just, I don't think that if you look at one thing if it's Russell, if it's Arthur Smith, it's the offense that you have to question has been the inability to find a way to get Freiermuth involved more. Pretty much everybody else on that offense has found a a niche, and I don't think Freiermuth has found that yet. And I think it's getting to the point where you can be critical of, if it's Russell or whoever it is, Tomlin, Arthur Smith, whoever, of not getting him involved. He's that much talented. But I am surprised of how well Darnell Washington has been playing. I mean, he's a weapon that's not too many teams in the league have right now because of his blocking ability. And do you want to be tackling a 300-plus pound 6'7" guy that can run a 4.6 as well? So they gotten the best out of him, but they do got to do something with Freiermuth, too. They got to get him involved more to have this offense clicking on all cylinders.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Mark Cabali on the line, the big boy, as we like to call him. How about Justin Fields more in the red zone? Wilson's numbers in the red zone, not good. Fields were better. I'm on board, Mark, in the deeper red zone. Like when they get down, you know, inside the 10, I think I would actually be on board with Fields coming into the game and taking over in those situations. I really would. How about you?
Yeah, I don't think you should do it consistently, though. I mean, I don't think every time you get into the 10, sort of like the old Bussy days back in, what was it, 05 or 05, I believe.
Yeah.
And you got the ball inside the 3, automatically he was coming in, you know, a specialist. Like, I don't think you can go that far, but I understand what you're saying because this is not a small sample size that we saw last week. This has been through all of camp, preseason, the first 6 games of the year, that he's pretty dynamic in that lower red zone type of area. So I'd like to see him more in there. I don't want to really mess. The only issue I probably would have with that, Joe, is when you put him in that red zone area inside the 5 or something, more often than not, if it's early in the downs, you're going to be under center. And you just have to be a little bit question yourself if you want to put a guy fresh off the bench who's had the old quarterback center exchange problems to come in there at a critical point like that. That's the only downside I could potentially see out there. But hey, Russell Wilson's been good there over his career last year. It just hasn't really worked out. But I think if it continues to struggle, that's when you continue to see more Justin Fields in that area. But I was a little worried when they brought him in there in the, what was it, 3rd and 12 or whatever it was last week, Fields. I'm thinking, man, you really want to put a guy who is fresh off the bench in the game right now in a potential fumble?
Yes, that's what I was thinking too, man. I was thinking this might not be the greatest decision, but it proved out to be one of Tomlin's many good ones. Fan weather, brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event, now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High 64 with cloudy skies. Limits, may I engage, Mark, in a game of free association?
Yes, absolutely.
This is going to be a very wide-ranging game, big boy. Are you ready?
You're going to have to start charging for free association.
Well, we may get it sponsored soon. It's funny you should mention that. Who would you take as your head coach, Belichick or Dion?
I'm a big Dion fan, so I would go Dion at this point.
Dion or Vrabel?
Vrabel.
Vrabel or Ben Johnson?
Vrabel, because he's at least done it.
Brady Quinn said the Browns should trade for Mike Tomlin. What do you think it would be like if Jimmy Haslam called Art and asked for that trade?
Was he serious?
Yes. Go listen to the clip. He said they should at least make the call.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Are we still going to be tracking planes from Cleveland to here like they were tracking planes from Washington a couple years ago because he was going to get traded to the Commanders or the team?
All right. Speaking of that, the worst, and I might be missing one here, but of recent losses to the Browns, some of the quarterbacks, I'm talking the 21st century here, the worst loss was to Brandon Whedon Brian Hoyer, the aforementioned Brady Quinn, or DTR last year? You were at the mall, I would imagine. Which was the worst?
Whoa. There's a couple other ones in there, aren't there? I mean, did they lose RG3? They might have lost RG3.
Not with the Browns, no.
Nah. Probably Brandon Whedon, because he's probably older than I am right now.
He was older than Kenny Pickett and Ron Cook combined.
Yeah, there's been not very good quarterback play on that side. I thought Gretkowski might have played for him too. He played for him, but he probably never played against the Steelers. Yeah, you got a point taken there. There's some interesting names there. I mean, if it's not Whedon last year, the DTR was pretty up there.
So was Brady Quinn going 6-for-19 and beating them. All right, let's move along quickly. Minka turnover in this game?
No.
Which year will Minka get his next turnover?
How about when they play January 5th against the Bengals? So I'll say then.
So the year 2025. All right, Mike Williams over under 0.5 catches.
Oh, he'll go over.
Cam Sutton didn't get as much run as some people thought. Do you think that's because they saw him struggle the week before, or because Beanie, they just like him?
I think it had a lot to do with their scheme against Lamar. I think you'll see more of Cam here in the upcoming this week, and especially this week, because
MVP, MVP of the league, Lamar, Josh Allen, or somebody else?
That's like a loaded question, because right now, Josh Allen coming off a huge game, Lamar coming off a loss, everybody's going to say Josh Allen, right?
What are you going to say?
I might just give still a little bit of a edge to Lamar at this point.
Alex Highsmith back for which game?
Not this week, but he's walking a lot better, I saw. So who they play after that?
Cincy.
He'll be probably ready in Cincy. If not, you know, they've been tending to take an extra week, even though he doesn't need it. So I would even say the week after Cincy, whatever that is.
Dean Lowry, budding legend. He was good.
He's what they need, man. They need those role defensive line players. Every time they have a good defense or a chance to go deep in the playoffs, they have those type of guys. So you might be onto something there, Joe.
Thank you, big boy. I have no further questions.
Is it really the Starkey and Pomp show now, or am I missing something?
No, it's the Pomp and Joe show. When Pomp's here.
Officially?
Yeah, it happened yesterday.
Only on Mondays. What are we talking about here?
Well, that's the question. I don't know what we're talking about. He's definitely going to be here.
I don't know what we're talking about. You now have official partners, I guess I'm asking.
Yes, it's the Pomp and Joe show. I just told you.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not paying attention because I did not know this.
Do you have Tony ripping me, asking me about a question? Yeah, we just don't know when Bob exactly is going to be here. He's going to be here tomorrow. It's going to be part of the fun of it all, big boy. I think it's going to be Mondays for sure, as it is now.
Yeah.
Wednesdays and Thursdays, it looks like.
That's freaking legendary, man.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.